Laverne was sharing some things. While I can corral my voice, she visited with somebody the other day. And this particular person came to New Life. One. Didn't take but one to get that one warmed up. But this particular person came to New Life, and she had was just getting out of high school. And so that was about 35 years ago. And she got married and she left. And she moved around and different things in her life. And we hadn't seen her for many, many, many years. And Laverne ran into her. And a little while after she ran into her and talked to her in person, she called Laverne. And they talked for a pretty good little while. She's sharing some of the things in her life that had happened. And she told Laverne, she said, through these years, I've been in a lot of churches. But she said, I have never, ever been in a church where I felt the Spirit of God stronger than your church. Meaning New Life. Now, I'll tell you what. The presence of God is not all about jumping and shouting and running. That can be part of it. It's fun. But it's what's flowing out of your heart and what's flowing into your heart that makes a difference. It makes the presence of God. And this morning, I'm going to share a message with you that the Lord gave me. You know, there's pretty neat stuff in this book. I mean, there's some really good material in there. But all you got to do is read it. And you read it through the right kind of eyes. You see, we've got spiritual eyes at the Spirit of God. I don't know how some people can spend much time in this Bible and then get up and say God doesn't heal. I don't know how they can read this Bible and say, well, the baptism of the Holy Spirit's passed away. It's quit. It's over. It's done. Nothing in there that says that, but there's a lot that says the other side. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever is one thing. I mean, how many times does somebody have to tell you something before you believe it's the truth? Well, that's only in the Bible once. Well, how many times does it need to be in there to be true? Now, I said, Lord, what should I share on this morning? And this is what he gave me. So what I want you to do with it is examine yourself, make sure where you are, and then make sure where you want to be. And we're going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Beginning with verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. What's the Spirit of God do? He reveals to us the things that are freely given to us by God. These things we also speak. You believe, then the next step is you speak. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now we're not going to stop here. We're going on to verse chapter 3 because it continues the same context. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? And then I want to read another scripture. Don't go far from there because we're going back. In Romans chapter 8. We're going to start with verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And we're going to stop right there. Oh, let me read the next line, not the next verse. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Now, what we're going to be looking at this morning is the three positions of man. And all of us are in one of the positions. The three, maybe I should say conditions instead of positions. These are the conditions of man. Number one, there's the fleshly man, the natural man, Paul calls it. The natural man. That's a man that's never had much use for the things of God. He's the one out here that's doing his own thing, living his own way, and doesn't really care about changing. He's the unregenerate man. You know any of them? Now, if you're here this morning or you're listening to this radio broadcast over the internet, you decide. You decide what you are in these three areas. But it says the natural man can't even understand the things of God. You ever talk to people out here that are lost and they look at you like a calf looking at a new gate? And they just don't know what you're talking about. Don't have any idea. Do you know there's a lot of people in the world, if you ask them if they believed in Jesus, they'd say, who's he? And you might not have to go as far as you think you'd have to go to find somebody that's in that condition. I bet you could find people before you got out of Adair County Well, I mean, I hear about Jesus. I hear people talk about Jesus, but who is he? Who is Jesus? And until that person can get a vision or a glimpse of something that represents God, and I like what Ricardo said this morning, because he just, I don't know if you know, but that was a pump primer for what I'm saying. And he walked away, and I said, I know who's living in you. People should see us and know that there's something different. That's the only way the fleshly man, the natural man, that's the only way they're going to be reached. And you know, even when they get to the bottom of their barrel, or when they get there down in their cave of distress, God's going to use somebody to talk to them. And they're going to hear something that God wants them to hear. Let me call your attention to this. This verse of scripture here, which says to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now let me put it in a modern relevant English. If you're carnally minded, it'll kill you. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, when you have life and peace, where'd you get it? From God. Now, the natural man, it's just that person that's never done anything for God. Just like they were when they were born. And then there is the spiritual man. And that's the way it lists them. That's the way it talks about over there in Corinthians. Talks about the natural man. Then it talks about the spiritual man. Now, the spiritual man is the one that understands the things of God because the Spirit of God has revealed them to him. But now let me ask you this. Can you have something revealed to you if you're not ready to receive it? How's the Holy Spirit going to reveal something to us if we never read the Bible? You know, most of the revelations that I've gotten by the Spirit of God has been while I've been reading the Bible. And that's why it's important that you do more of God's Word than what you hear in here on Sunday morning or on Wednesday night. That you make it a practice to incorporate the Word of God into your life, because this is a strange book. And I don't mean that in a bad sense. It's a strange book in the sense that I don't care how close you've read it, you can read it again and there'll be something in there you didn't see before. Now, most other books are not that way. Usually in the other books that you read the book and you pretty much got what's in it. You go back and read it again and you got it again. And very seldom do you ever go back and read a secular book of any kind of, or even a Christian book. Do you go back and read it a second time and see something really important that you didn't see the first time? Maybe something you forgot, but you at least saw it. And in here, that's why I said what I said a while ago. There's a lot of neat stuff in this book. But it depends on how you read. You need to read it with an open mind by the Spirit of God. And first of all, come to the realization or come to the place where you say, this book is God's word. This is God talking to me. This is not just something a bunch of men put together. It is not somebody's opinion. It is God's word. And you start reading it from there. And that's the only way. That's the only way you can become a spiritual man. Now, a lot of times we say that, oh boy, he's really spiritual. Now, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a man with a recreated spirit. Some of these people that are spiritual are no more than religious. They're just religious, not necessarily spiritual. But the spiritual man is the one who can read God's word. It jumps out at him. And we pursue the things of God through the Spirit and not through our own understanding. You know, if you read the Bible with your own understanding, you know what it'll say to you? It will say to you whatever you want to. I mean, it's that mysterious. You know, if you want to believe God's mean, you'll find all the God is mean scriptures. Take them out of context or anything, but they're there. But if you're reading the Word of God through the eyes of the Spirit after having been filled with His grace, you get a whole different view of what the Scripture has to say. Preachers with big congregations can get up after there's been a terrible storm, a lot of damage, tornado, hurricane, and say that it was the judgment of God. Well, who was he judging? There were some real good people got killed in that judgment. And the Bible tells us that the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. Yeah, they happen. Because this world has not been completely tamed yet. Because the ones who are supposed to be in authority are not taking that authority. Many times we run and hide, rather than take authority over the things that are going on in the world. But spiritual men, like, who's our example? Jesus. What'd he do when they're out in the ship on the lake? He come to pieces, fall apart, start moaning and crying. Oh, boys, get us to shore, we're going to sink. That's what the others thought, but not him. Master, if you don't wake up, we're going to perish. So he woke up and said, boys, I'm sorry you're in the mess you're in. I'll see if I can do something about it. What did he tell them? Where is your faith? Why did you wake me up? Why didn't you do something about it yourself? He said, I gave you power and authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Do you not believe that? Then use that. A spiritual man walks through the circumstances, walks above the circumstances, or gets transported to the other side of the circumstances. Because, you know, there's a lot of things that you look in your future and you see them and they're not there when you get there. You ever had that experience? You know, a few days down the road, something's going to happen. You know what's going to happen. You know how it's going to be. You got this bad picture of it. And when it gets there and it happens, it wasn't near as bad. And maybe you get to there, but today's the day that's supposed to happen. What happened? Just like what Gail was sharing about how God's blessed them. It's like, you know, got a bill to pay, don't have the money in your pocket, and you see the bill, and it's down the road. May not be but a couple of days or 2 weeks. But you see the bill down the road, and you look at the bill down the road with your circumstances the way they are. There's a $500 bill, and I got $5 in my pocket. What's going to happen when I get to that $500 bill, and all I've got is $5? Where's trusting God come in? Trusting God comes in right there and saying, God will take care of it. He might not even send you $495 so you can pay it. Realize that? He might not do that. He might give you a favor with whoever it is you owe it to, and they say, well, we can wait a while on it. You don't know what God's going to do. But what you got to do as a spiritual man is to believe that God's going to do something. He's not going to leave me right here like I am. And when you got physical stuff in your body, the one thing I think that keeps people from falling apart when they're really, really, really sick, and I can attest to it because I've been there and done that, is that even no matter what happens, you know what's going to happen. And all those cases and all the times that they were trying to get me dead, if I had died, I wouldn't have a voice problem now. I'd have two hands. I'd be the right size. And when you know, if we really believe what we say, we believe about heaven and everything, the spiritual man, he looks at the things that are above, not the things that are on the earth. Fleshly person watches around on the things of the earth. Spiritual man looks to God. Colossians chapter 3 would be a good place to read that. I'm not going there. Take time. But that's two of the conditions. And the third condition you are still carnal. A carnal person, according to the scripture, is a person that has been regenerated by the power of God. They have been saved. They are now citizens of the kingdom, but they can't get their mind off of the things of the world long enough to live in the spiritual reality that God has prepared for them. They're too interested in what's going on in the world. Now, I can remember years ago hearing somebody use this expression. He was so spiritually minded that he wasn't any earthly good. Now, I'm not talking about that. But I had a professor when I was in seminary. His name was Dr. Tom Carruth. And he taught prayer and spiritual life in the prayer and spiritual life department. I took some classes under him. I heard one of the other professors say one day in referring to Dr. Tom, he said, he's so heavenly minded that he can't keep his feet on the ground. And what he was saying was, he's just in a little world by himself. But I'll tell you what, there was some power in that little world that he was in by himself. because I could tell the difference in him and most of the other seminary professors. And it was basically in his class that I was exposed to some things that I wondered about. Didn't know much about them. You know, people that don't know about speaking, or people that don't believe in speaking in tongues, don't know much about it. Nobody could study it in the Word of God and then come away from it and say, I don't believe in it. Nobody can study the Word of God in the right frame of mind and not come away from it and say, or come away from it and say, I don't believe in healing. Now, you know, everybody should be at least preaching, get saved, and live right. But because we're not really seeing the whole picture, it's hard for us to get saved and live right. It's not hard to get saved, but then we got to go out here and we got to live right, and we're never told that the grace of God is bigger than any problem that you've got, and any temptation you have can be crushed under your feet by the presence of God in His Spirit and by the Word of God. You can defeat anything in your life by the Word of God. Anything. But you got to be a spiritual minded person. If you're carnal, look what it says. He said, you're still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Ask you something. Does it bother God for somebody to get offended because they weren't called on to pray and somebody else was? How about musicians, singers that get offended because they weren't asked to sing? So-and-so was asked to sing. I don't know why they didn't ask me to sing. If you really listen, the Holy Spirit would probably, for that person, you really listen, the Holy Spirit might say, because exactly the way you're acting now. That's the reason. Why would I want to put somebody in the spotlight that's full of envy and jealousy and strife? Preachers would be the same way, particularly when it comes to the churches. I'll tell you what. I'm not saying... Well, let me make this statement. There's times when I'm carnally minded. You might be surprised what I'm getting ready to say. I watched Kentucky yesterday lose a basketball game, and you know, I could have spent that time reading the Bible. You know, next time they play a game, I make it carnal again and watch it instead of reading my Bible. You know? How about being carnal minded when the Lord says, would you fast about this? And you think about what you could fast. What can I fast? Well, the most obvious thing, it's food. But too many people, even though they fast something that they don't really care that much about anyway. Well, I'm going to fast 10 days. I'm not going to a drive-through restaurant. Now you've made a commitment to fast food restaurants. But you go to the grocery store. and you get your food and you go home and you cook it and you eat it. Now, what's the difference? I'm not going to eat any squash. I'm just trying to make a point that we have to watch, because if we don't watch, we get carnal things in our lives. And you know, the thing about it, though, is God still loves you. You're still his child. You're still going to heaven. But being carnal minded will put you to death. I mean, you'll lose all your joy. You'll lose all your victory. Every time something fleshly happens to you, you'll bawl, squall, and cry out. But not stand in faith. Forget with God. I'm going to read you something right here. And this is closing. People fall into three spiritual categories that clarify how the revelation of the cross by the Spirit is received from the human side. The natural man, unregenerate and devoid of the Spirit, has no appreciation for the gospel. The spiritual man, regenerate and possessing spiritual maturity as seen in freedom from sectarian strife, has a nature that responds to the truth, and unbelievers find him difficult to understand. You know, the world can't understand you if you're a spiritual person. If your mind is set on the things of God, not on the things of the world out here don't understand you. Now, they may see the difference in you. They may understand that you're just not like. That's what Ricardo was talking about this morning. You're just not like, something different about you. The carnal man, regenerate, in other words, saved, but living much like an unregenerate, is a believer with childish ways. Did you know a 3-year-old is a human? Now, what if you were 30 and that same kind of human? You don't change the fact that you're a human. You don't grow from a child into a human. You're born a human. When you're regenerated by the power of God, when you come to Jesus Christ and you're saved, you become saved. You become a child of God. But you're just a little bitty child of God. And there's so much to learn and so much growing to do. And some people don't see that. I mean, you know, they were saved today. And 30 years from now, you run into them. They're the same thing as they were the day they got saved. They haven't gained much of anything. And then there are other people, they can get saved and they get on fire for God. In 2 or 3 weeks, you say, wow, what a change. That's the way it works. The unregenerate or the carnal believer with childish ways as seen in a jealous and sectarian spirit. And here's the key. Get a drink of water first. Last thing I'm going to say. An immature Christian lives more for human opinion than for Christ. They want to be a Christian, but they want to have people having good opinion of them. And if you're a spiritual man, they're not going to have a good opinion of you. Unless they're looking for something better than what they've got. That's why it's important that we live spiritual lives. That we put forth Jesus Christ when we're out and people are around us. So, don't have to answer this, but where'd you find yourself? Unregenerate, carnal, or spiritual? And you know, the thing about it is, from carnal to spiritual is just one step. Just to decide to do it. Let's stand. No, they didn't believe me a while ago when I said I was done. I'm going to pray. Leave all this up to you. It's your responsibility now. You've heard. You do with it whatever you choose to do. May you be blessed this week. You walk out of here believing you're healed, believing you're spiritual, believing you're righteous before God and before the world, and that all things are possible. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these people, people that hear this message. I thank you, Lord God, for working in their lives. I thank you, Father, that everyone here can go home with some nugget. Something's been said that inspires them or wakes them up. And Lord God, we just thank you for your presence and your power. That you walk with us every day. That you hold our hand in every circumstance and situation. And you, Lord God, are all we need. And Jesus, you are the fullness of God. And you're living in us. That makes a difference. That makes a difference. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.